Hey guys, I'd like to welcome everybody to our Bible study, the one that we try to do every Tuesday at 2 o'clock on Foundations of the Faith. I apologize for a little bit of a delay in this one, so instead of doing 2 o'clock today, we're going to do 3 o'clock. I had posted that on Facebook, so hopefully you're able to get that message. If not, hopefully you can watch this maybe some other time. Whenever you have some free time, you can go back and go watch this video. But anyways, like to welcome everybody and looking forward to the study that we have today. Recently, we've been talking a lot about authority and Bible authority and how to establish it and the importance of it and the application of that to our lives spiritually, to our worship, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to God, and all those sorts of things. Today, we're going to shift gears a little bit. And today, what I want to talk about is a verse that most of us probably have some knowledge of, at least have heard it referenced from time to time. And what I want to look at is I want to look at Psalm chapter 46. And I'm sure, in fact, I know I at least preached a sermon on this verse recently and within this psalm and within the context. I might have done something even on a Facebook Live session that we were doing. But I really want to bring this out and make application as it relates to our foundation of our faith and why it's important. We'll read here in Psalm 46, verse 10, is, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And so what we recognize here is God, through the psalmist, telling us to be still and know who He is. Know that He is God. It's not that He's a God, that He's a God of the many gods that are out there, but know that I am God. And He's telling us that He is the God. And we are to be still, we are to relax, we're to be calm, just like we see Jesus calming the sea. That idea of it was crazy, and then it was not, it was calm. We need to be calm, in spite of what might be going on around us. And so what we see and what we recognize from this is the consistency that is to be there as Christians, as a child of God. We're to be still, and we are to know that God is in control. You know, we need to be reminded this from time to time, because there's no doubt things come up in our life that seem crazy, that seem out of control. Certainly COVID-19 has done that, and all the different things that have resulted of that, from the economy to jobs to people's health to services being changed around and all those different types of things. What we need to do is we need to stop and we need to be reminded of from time to time. We need to remember that God is in control, because whenever those things start going on, it starts to get chaotic and we start to get flustered and we start to wonder, where is God in all this mess? And what we need to be reminded of, what we need to remember, is that God is in the same place He's always been. He's never moved. He's always been there, and He will always be there. You know, we have an account in Exodus where you have something very similar as far as those who were in a position, children of God, were in a position and started wondering, where is God and what's going on and why are we in this situation? And here in Exodus chapter 14, what you have is Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And this was done by the will of God. This is something God wanted to have done. And so Moses is leading them out, and they get to the Red Sea, and the children of Israel recognize and they realize, you know, the Egyptians are following us. We're here at the Red Sea. What are we going to do? I mean, Moses, did you lead us out of here just to have us die? I mean, what are we going to do? And what Moses had to tell the people is essentially what we just read in Psalm 46, verse 10. Here in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, Moses tells them, he said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still." You see that idea? Don't be afraid. Be still. And see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace. What He's telling them is exactly what we just laid out in Psalm 46. Things are going crazy. It looks like, and you're wondering, where is God in all this mess? Why is He allowing this to happen? How are we going to make it through that? All these different thoughts start coming through your head, and you forget, and you need to be reminded, that God's right where He's always been. He is God. And as a result of that, we need to be still and be calm and know who He is and know that He is going to take care of us. That's what Moses told the children of Israel. It's right after this that we see God tell Moses to stretch out His hand with the rod in His hand and the sea would depart. And the children of Israel go across it. And whenever they get to the other side, the Egyptians, they're going to come in after them. And then the Lord's going to close the sea on top of them. And it's because of that that we read in verse 31 of Exodus 14, "Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." We need to be reminded of these verses from time to time. We need to be reminded of these accounts. Where it seemed crazy, where it seemed like, how are we going to get out of this? And that's the big problem. We start wondering and questioning, how are we going to get out of this? We forget that God is in control, that He is in His place, who He is. And instead of leaving it up to Him, instead of turning to Him, we start looking at ourselves. In this account and in this case, we see that Moses reminds them, be still, relax, know that God, see the salvation that the Lord is going to work today. And we need to be reminded of that and think about that as well. We need to think about our own life and maybe some various things that might happen from time to time where when we're going through it, we wonder, how are we going to get through it? And is God there? And all these different things. And we get out on the other side and we see that God's right where He always has been. And we need to put our trust and our faith in Him. You know, we have another account of this in Matthew 27, verses 46 through 50. Whenever Jesus was crucified, whenever He was put to death. We read here in Matthew 27, verse 46 through 50. "In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. What we see here is Jesus died on the cross. We see that and it's emphasized a little bit more in John 19, verses 32 through 34. After Jesus uttered those words and yielded up his spirit, we read, "Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first two, or the first and of the other who was crucified with them. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, that he did not break his legs. They did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with the spear, and immediately blood and water came out." And the emphasis and what we're trying to point out is Jesus died on the cross. And the reason why we point this out is because there are some out there who claim that Jesus never really died on the cross, but it's clear from Scripture. And it's clear from all the accounts, from the enemies, as well as his followers, that Jesus was dead. And the reason why this would be such a big deal is because to those, his disciples, his followers, they didn't think that this was going to happen. And so you can imagine what their mindset is like whenever they realize and recognize and see Jesus, the one who they had followed, the one who was their teacher, the one who had worked all those miracles, that he is dead. And although he had said, and it was prophesied in the Old Testament this was going to happen, this was still something that shocked them and that hit them. And they're sitting there and they're wondering, how is this possible? And once again, they're in this situation of, where is God? How are we going to get through this? What do we do now? But then we see that Jesus was raised. And once again, the point that is trying to be proved in this session, in this episode of Foundations of the Faith, is this, that God is in control. Jesus died. His apostles, his disciples didn't think that was going to be a thing, but it did happen. But never forget that God is in control and that his will is going to be done. We see in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20 through 21, and Acts 1, that Jesus was raised from the dead and he was with his apostles. He was with those. There are countless number of witnesses that saw the that saw Jesus raised from the dead. That saw the body was not in the grave anymore. The body was not in the tomb. And saw Jesus alive. And we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 57 through 58, that Jesus conquered death. That the victory is now in Jesus because of this. what I'm pointing out here, what I want us to really look at, there are many applications that we can make in Jesus' death and resurrection and all those types of things, but is this. If you were one of his disciples, apostles, you didn't think that that was going to happen. It did. And then your mind immediately goes to, now what? Now what? And things are crazy and you start questioning, where is God in all this? Never forget that God has not moved. He is where he has always been. He's always been in control, and his will always be done. He will be exalted among the nations. This is the will of God. This is what he wanted to have done. And as a result of his death and resurrection, we now have a hope of heaven. So we need to understand something from this. What we're trying to point out is this. Whenever we come to an understanding and a recognition that God is in control, that we need to be still, that we need to relax, and we need to know that he is God. Whenever we come to that realization, when we come to that recognition that God is in control and that he will be exalted, that his will be done, and that we trust that, what we end up doing is we lean not on ourselves or our own understanding, but we lean upon God. See, Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, I want to read both these for you real quick. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." See, we need to lean not on our own understanding. Don't lean on your understanding. Why? Because that's the understanding and wisdom of men. And if I don't understand and recognize that God is there, that he is God, he is the creator of the heavens and the earth, that he is in control, then whenever things start to go a little bit crazy, what I start to do is lean on my own understanding. We're in this time of trial. We're in this time of struggle. We're in this time of temptation. How am I going to get through it? Well, if I don't have that understanding or that belief and knowledge that God is and that he is in control, then I'm certainly not going to turn to him. I'm going to try to turn to myself, but Scripture tells me I'm not to lean on my own understanding. See, the point that we're trying to make is this. Knowing that God is, knowing that he is and that he is in control and that he will be exalted, that his will be done, whenever I come to that understanding, whenever I know that that is the case, then I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to lean on his. I'm going to turn to him, and I'm going to turn to his word. That's somewhat of the idea that we see in James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, what we see is that we can count it all joy when we go through various trials. One on the surface says, well, how is that so? Because in doing that, in going through them, our faith grows. Well, how is that? Because whenever I go through those trials, if I have an understanding that the only way that I'm going to get through this is leaning upon God, who is in control, and not trusting in myself, but turning to him, and in particular in this context, is talking about turning to his word and letting that direct me, then my faith will grow. You see, having an understanding and having that knowledge and knowing that God is and that his will be done, that he will be exalted, if I have that understanding, then what I'm going to do is not lean upon myself and my own understanding, but I'm going to lean upon him in his direction, lean upon him in his wisdom. And then in 1 Peter 1:6-7, we know that in doing so, that we prove the genuineness of our faith. By going through those trials, we prove the genuineness of our faith. Why? Because my faith wasn't in myself. I didn't turn to myself. I turned to God. Well, why did I turn to God? I turned to God because I knew that was the proper way to get through this trial, because he is sitting on his throne, because he is there in control. And although it might not seem like it to me, although it might not seem like it to me in my knowledge or in my wisdom, my understanding, by faith I know that he is, and I turn to him. Therefore, I prove the genuineness of my faith. You see, what we're trying to point out is this. When we know God's will be done and he will be exalted, whenever we know that's the case, then we don't lean upon ourselves and our own understanding. We don't turn to ourselves and how am I going to get through this, but we turn to and lean upon God. And that's such an important application that we need to make in our life, because there are times when we're going to go through various things. Right now, COVID-19 is going on, but there's other things that happen all the time. People lose their job from time to time. People get sick from time to time. Loved ones die from time to time. All these different things happen in our life, and we don't know when they're going to happen. And if we start questioning and thinking, where is God, then we're not going to turn to Him to help us get through this. And whenever we don't turn to Him to help us get through it, our faith isn't going to grow, and we're not proving our faith genuine. Because whenever we go through those trials and temptations, we prove our faith genuine, and we're able to get through them by doing what? By turning to Him. Well, the reason why we turn to Him is because we know that He is. And we know that He is there. We've seen the works not only throughout our life, but we can read about them in Scripture and know that God has always been there. He is consistent, and that He will always be there. And so I encourage you to think about these things, and I encourage you in any and all situations, but especially whenever you're going through various trials and temptations and tribulations, don't go down the path of asking, well, where is God? How am I going to get through this on my own? What you need to do is you need to turn to God in those situations, in any and all. But in particular, in those times of trial, in those times of struggle, be still whenever those things happen, and know that God is, that He is in control, that His will be done, and He will be exalted. I hope this study has been edifying and encouraging to you. I hope it's something you can take and make application to your life. If you have any questions, or if you want to study God's Word, please reach out to me. I'd love to be able to talk with you. I'd love to be able to study with you. I'd love to be able to talk about spiritual matters with you and discuss those things with you. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and God bless.